Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Welcome back to the Social Selling Podcast. Today, I'm going to title this one of the realest episodes we are going to do. And we're going to dig deeper than we usually do, because let's be fair, lots of the people you see rocking LinkedIn with their tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of followers and all the likes they get on their posts, they represent the smallest possible minority of success cases. The majority of people achieving success on LinkedIn, they're not the ones that are massively visible, but they're the ones, in some cases, achieving some of the biggest results, some bigger than a lot of the influencers you see out there. And I am pretty sure I'm joined by one of them today. I'm joined by a very good friend of mine, an incredible person, and a very successful social seller, Mason Cosby, who, we're going to dig into this today, has achieved phenomenal results from LinkedIn. But as he very openly put on one of his posts recently, you wouldn't look at his content and necessarily connect the dots. But what he's doing is deeper and it's working. And we're going to dig into that today. Mason, thank you for freeing up some time to come and share us your social selling secrets. Welcome to the show.
Daniel, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to hopefully dig in and give some people some hope that they don't have to have millions of followers to make some money on LinkedIn.
I love it. And it is a very common misconception. You know, we can all look at these LinkedIn influencers and gurus that have all this great engagement and their selfies get thousands of likes and everyone's looking at them thinking, oh yeah, that's what I need to do clearly to be successful. But the reality is most of social selling success comes from other activities. And it's exactly how I got started on this platform. It wasn't by being no one starts as an influencer, no one wakes up as an influencer, but it's by doing things behind the scenes, you know, growing your network and having conversations. So first of all, I'd love to know where you got started on LinkedIn, and then let's sort of build into how you built what is a very successful social selling strategy.
Yeah. So the first iteration of my LinkedIn, fun fact, I worked at a financial technology company and I was 3 weeks on the job and said, oh, LinkedIn's going to be a good platform for us. So I started giving financial marketing advice, which didn't work at all because I had been 3 weeks on the job. So that was my first iteration where I immediately failed because I tried to be something that I wasn't. Inevitably, I transitioned over into a marketing agency and I was told, hey, Mace, we need to build an ABM program, but we don't have the ABM technology. And I said, okay, well, I guess I'll try to figure something out. So what I did is I had my target account list on one screen in HubSpot, and I just went down the list and I would copy and paste their name over into LinkedIn and I'd go and connect with those people, and a fair number accepted. And then they would post content, and this was before the days of the notification bell. So then I had just a folder of all of the favorites of all of their LinkedIn profiles. And I generally got to know when my target started to post because they were trying to post regularly. So then I'd go and engage in their content, and I just consistently showed up every day. So that's a lot of where I got started as far as like how I actually started to do social selling. And once I started to build up my confidence based on comments, I started to post my own content, which also then helped to further those relationships.
I love that. And just a good shout, because there'll be a lot of people that still don't know about the notification bell. You can, if you go onto someone's profile, you could go onto Mason's great content, so I'd recommend doing this. If you go onto to Mason's profile as an example, there'll be a little bell icon on his profile page. If you click that, you'll get to choose to have Mason's content appear at the top of your feed. It's the only way you can actually essentially go against the algorithm and control the content you see. And as Mason's highlighted, for all of your top prospects, for anyone you're selling to, even your customers, have that bell icon selected so that you are the first to see your prospects and customers' content. But Mason, I sold in that time pre-bell as well, where it was just spreadsheets full of links, so you'd have to go in manually, which definitely was a lot more tiresome. But I love that you identified, A, I can find my prospects on LinkedIn, I'm going to connect with them, and I'm going to start interacting with the content. Now, as a creator now, tell us a little bit, because you know what it's like as a creator. When someone likes and comments on your post, it's a really nice feeling. It's a nice thing to do. So when we think about doing that for our prospects and customers, imagine how they feel. Imagine how it makes them feel. So just give us some insights as someone who does create and share great content. You know, I'm assuming it does still feel good for you when people engage.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't try to create content for the algorithms. Because entirely transparent. If you do follow me, I post the occasional photo of my daughter. She's 10 months old. She's absolutely adorable. Those are the posts that get the most engagement, but they drive nothing for the business because she's so cute. Doesn't educate anybody. Like, it's just let me go like that. So don't get me wrong. I love the engagement. It makes my heart happy to see that people actually care and enjoy the content. And then as somebody that is now getting actually pitched on a fairly frequent basis, when I've seen someone showing up consistently in the comments, I'm way more open to a conversation versus the immediate connect and pitch. And from my side, when I think through, often we hear this stat of it's like 21 touches before somebody's willing to buy. Often we think about that as outbound emails, cold calls, social, like DMs. But I tried to shift that personally to be, how do I just show up consistently and add value to their life? And we hear that all the time of add value, but practically adding value might be, I'm going to like their content because they've put in the time and effort, and it just makes somebody happy whenever somebody likes their content. It's also completely free, literally costs you nothing, but maybe 3 seconds of your time. And then the other thing is a meaningful comment, which is not just a great post, but actually saying something that is memorable. And especially when I was early, I actually, because nobody was following my content, I would have comments that would get more engagement than my content. And that was how I also started to build an audience and a following, because I showed up consistently trying to add value to both the person that was posting, but then also I heard it framed this way. Someone that has an audience essentially is a micro network within LinkedIn, and it's curated based around a specific topic. So Daniel, people that engage with you want to learn more about social selling. So if you are a sales tool trying to sell to social sellers, if you were to show up every single day in Daniel's comments, there's a bunch of social sellers in his comments too. And you can actually add value and educate them through the comment sections. So again, that's really a lot of how I started to think through it to actually, yes, build the relationship one-to-one with the person that was posting, but then also they have their own little network. It's a great way to expand reach within their networks.
I'm going to take a quick step back, because I think what you highlighted a minute ago was one of the biggest misconceptions around LinkedIn and social selling. And you mentioned sharing pictures of your daughter, and I know you share pictures of you when you're out and traveling and things like that. And you were right. Often they drive the highest engagement, but the lowest ROI. But that's not the way to look at it, because that sort of essentially goes down this sort of autopilot of, well, if they're not working, let's just pitch and promote. But let's look at this in a different light. Like, LinkedIn and social selling is just like networking. And if you go to a networking event, you don't go to each person and pitch them. You go and you have conversations. Those conversations are the equivalent of sharing a picture of your daughter or yourself, because that's what you would be talking about in real life to build rapport and relationships that then lead to, after whether it's 5, 10, 20 touch points in that conversation, a point where you're able to then talk about your product or service. But posting a selfie is the same as going up to someone and saying, what did you do this weekend? You know, what are you up to tonight? What are you doing, you know, outside of work? It's the same thing. It's just we don't think of it like that. We sort of look at LinkedIn and social, and we think we just need to sell. Does that make sense?
No, I fully agree. And thanks for the clarification, because it's always fun whenever I hop on a prospect call. I'm generally a small talker, and generally people, because they do follow my content, will actually make comments of things that have happened that are like my daughter, or when we did go on a family vacation, or, you know, it's right around the time of this recording is the 4th of July. I can almost guarantee I'm going to post of whatever I'm grilling this week. Like, it's that balance of personal brand. And I think you're correct in the sense that often either people will lean way more towards personal and it doesn't actually educate, or they'll lean way more towards like corporate branding, which is exclusively education and pitching. And it's the balance of the two that actually makes someone unique and actually worth engaging with.
Oh, I completely agree. Balance is absolutely key. And again, it's hard. You know, either you're working in sales and you've got these targets to sell, so you think that's all you need to do, or you're working in marketing and you're trying to generate inbound. So again, it's all about selling in essence, just through content. And again, it's that sweet spot in the middle, which is why I love social selling, because it's kind of this merger of sales and marketing, which is, I guess, connected exactly to what you do with Scrappy ABM and account-based marketing. It's kind of this convergence of sales and marketing and social. So tell us a little bit, because we've talked about, you know, finding key accounts, we're, you know, following them, we're interacting with their content. What's the next level for conversion? So after however many touch points, at what point do you usually then look to convert?
Yeah, I'm odd in this sense, because I don't really ever do a hard pitch at all. I have built my social selling approach and even the business at this point, and I think we've already referenced it, but it's been about $3 million in revenue in 3 years exclusively through LinkedIn. And my approach has just been, if I'm around long enough and helpful long enough, whenever they have the problem, they will inevitably ask. So that's all I've been doing. There's a couple of specific things that I've also done, and I stole this from Justin Welsh. It was probably 4 years ago, and I was really getting serious about LinkedIn. Is if you want to be more interesting online, be more interesting offline. So the idea that I've started to do is, if I do have a lot of connections and comments back and forth, and we essentially have conversations in the comments, and there are a lot of people that I've never met face to face where we have conversations in the comments, I will just inevitably say, like, hey, we've been essentially talking for 2 years at this point, and we've never actually hopped on a call. Could we hop on a call just to like make a connection? And generally what happens in that context is they'll share a little bit about what they do. I'll share a little bit more about what I do. And I'll just say, honestly, like, we're on the same wavelength. This has actually been a really great approach for me, because I also do engage a lot of ABMers that actually will never need my help. But what I do say is, you are likely super busy, and it's very clear we think the same way. Like, if you have any friends that need your help, you just don't have the time to give it, would you be open to sending them my way? And like, it, I use these relationships more for referrals than for the immediate sell. And what I have found is, by that softer pitch, one of three things happens. Either nothing happens and I maintain the relationship because I didn't feel like, oh, I've just been doing this for 2 years to pitch them. That's the first thing. Second thing that happens is I actually end up getting referrals, and I actually take one relationship and it multiplies into three clients. Mm-hmm. And the third thing that often happens is somebody will say, actually, I need that. And they'll actually self opt in, and then we'll have the sales cycle. So for me, it's been, how do I create interesting conversations in the comments online, take that then quote unquote offline into these conversations, and primarily ask for the referral. The other thing that I've been doing that was a super heavy lift, but was really worthwhile for me, is I actually ran a marketing careers podcast for about 2 years. There was no revenue around it. There was nothing to it. And what I did is I just invited marketing leaders, VPs and CMOs on the show that were actively hiring. And I just asked them how they built their career and what roles they would then end up hiring for. What that did is I really got to know the details that are never publicly shared of their career story to understand how they got to where they are today. They then share the roles they were hiring for. And over that 2-year-ish timeframe, I ended up helping about 40 people get hired. Wow. And what that ended up doing is I essentially placed talent from my network in my target accounts companies. I won favor with the decision maker because they got to have a one-to-one conversation with me where I made them a hero. I shared their content. And then the other thing that created is a monthly touch point. Because what I'd actually do, and this took about an hour, so it was not a light lift, but I'd look at every person that had ever been on the show and look for all the roles that they were hiring for. And I would actually make a post that said, if you're looking for a job, here are all the people that are hiring. If you want to hear how they built their career and what they look for in a team member, go listen to their episode. And it created a monthly touch point where I could keep in contact with every person that had been on the show that also happened to be my target account. So when I say be more interesting offline, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But that made me somebody that actually had something of actual interest and value versus just being someone that was in the comments section. There's lots of people in the comments section. There's not as many people that build a podcast that help you hire talent. So what I try to recommend for people is create some excuse where you can continue to actually stay engaged. And it's something that hopefully is uniquely differentiated that makes you memorable. So I did that through podcasting. You can do that through 1,000 different ways. But if you think about, again, I'm going to show up in the comments for quite some time. When I do hop on the call, I'll ask for the referral. And I have a unique way of staying in touch with somebody every single month without asking anything of them and just purely helping them. You will inevitably have people that buy from you. And that's the hard part that people don't really love about my strategy is it's inevitable. I can't tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but it works.
I love it. And it's kind of, there's no shortcut to success. And what I love most about it is it's going above and beyond, which 99.9% of people don't do, but it's a long-term game. And there are plenty of short-term wins and strategies you can use on LinkedIn with social selling, but it is strategies like that, that do take time, that do take effort, that do take consistency that will lead to bigger results. I just want to quickly jump on those two key things, because I think they're probably two of the biggest challenges people have with LinkedIn and social selling, which is time commitments and consistency. So as you've kind of alluded to already, some of these things are heavy lifting, some of them maybe not so much. How much time are you roughly spending per day sort of commenting?
Yeah, I now at this point have gotten my system relatively down. So I know who I want to engage with, and I try to engage with about 15 to 20 people. I generally know ballpark when they're posting. So I just kind of go in and I, for lack of a word, sprint through and comment on about 15 to 20 people every day. And it takes me about 30 minutes. And then from there, again, I've tried to bucket it out into a couple of different audiences. So it is prospects, it is in pipeline opportunities. It's also customers. And this is the on the customer front. Yes, it's a great touch point to stay engaged. And I think that alone is a good enough reason. But what I found is that often in the B2B tech space, which is a lot of where I work, my target accounts are friends with my target accounts. Yeah. So when I comment on a customer and they comment back saying that they love working with us, that's public facing. And my other target accounts that are hanging out in the comments will see that. So again, I've got about those 20 that I'm commenting on every day. And that's how I end up essentially making sure that I'm not spending hours upon hours, because this can become a very quick time suck. It is a worthwhile time investment, but if you don't have a system around how you're planning to go about it, you can end up spending 2 hours mindlessly scrolling and commenting on people that are never going to be your buyers.
That's a really good point. Keep it focused, keep it strategic. And again, we'll go back to it. Click the bell, have a list of your top prospects, customers, have that bell lifted, and even have it in your CRM so you can check it off. You know, book it into your calendar as a commitment. It could be 15 to 30 minutes of pure commenting every day. But this is where the next key component comes in, consistency. So you've been doing this now successfully for several years. How have you found the consistency part challenging, and what do you do to ensure you do keep consistent?
Yeah, the other thing that's happened in that 4 year time frame, 3 or 4 year time frame, is I worked at a 25 person boutique agency that then got acquired by a global 600 person agency, and then transitioned into a sales enablement education company, and then launched my own business. So honestly, the hardest part of all of this has been whenever you make a massive job transition. If you work for somebody, you have built an audience, and not everybody, but regardless, like, you work somewhere, you spend a lot of time thinking about that place, your content will be influenced by it. So the challenge that I experience from a consistency perspective is kind of overcoming the hurdle of whenever there's a massive job transition, my content takes a dive. And that's to be expected, because people followed me for what I was doing at this organization. Well, then I changed to a different organization that may serve a similar or adjacent audience, but not everybody. So I'm going to take a dive there. So that's been always the hardest part. is whenever something changes in a significant way, which again, the average chief revenue officer, for example, changes jobs every 18 to 21 months. Yeah. Like that's just the current state. You're going to make job transitions. So just after I did that enough, knowing I'm going to take a dive, it's probably going to take me 3 months to find my voice in this new context, just because I've got to now kind of go back to the drawing board and experiment a little bit. Because I personally, I try to use my LinkedIn to benefit the places that I've worked so that it's not just like me building up my own personal brand, but it's my building up a personal brand to drive revenue. So that's, again, just recognizing from a consistency perspective, as things change, content engagement will go up and down. And that's okay, because especially if your primary primary strategy is connections and commenting, then the engagement on your content is almost irrelevant. And I mean that sincerely. Like most of my content is to educate people. It's to keep in pipeline opportunities actively engaged. And it's also to show people that I have a pulse. And if like, that's, I mean, that's my content is not, and Daniel, you're kind to say my content is good. I don't have viral content. I've gone viral literally one time in 4 years. I have very average content that's good for those that need it, but it's not accessible for everybody. And that's okay. It's great for my targeted audience. So that's the thought process. That's the consistency piece. And then the last thing is I just did it long enough. When I started, I didn't really see any significant results for 6 to 9 months. And I just was too stubborn because I knew that it would work. Because it, I mean, it's just, for me, it was common sense of people don't know that I exist. If I show up in their comments every single day and they know that I exist, we buy from them. We know that exist. Nobody can buy from me if they don't know I'm here. So I'm just going to keep showing up. And now, because I've seen how it pans out 2 years of after consistency, it's kind of an addiction in a positive way, not a negative, in a positive way. But I mean, there isn't a day where I don't just pop on a LinkedIn and make a post, engage with people, because I know this is the drumbeat that drives my business forward.
I really love that. And again, it just goes right back to what I started this episode with, which this is one of the realest episodes that I think we've ever done, because this is what works most of the time. This is what most sellers, marketers, most people using LinkedIn are doing that's getting the most results. But it's not necessarily the glamorous stuff you see. It's not the viral content and all that crazy stuff, which, yes, it's fun and it's exciting. And we all love seeing Justin Welch post these, you know, really inspirational quotes that get tons of engagement. But that's such a small use case scenario. And what you've shared with us today is going to be some of the most impactful advice for those that do have the patience and ability and commitment to actually do the work. It's like going to the gym. If you went to the gym and just did a massive, you know, weight session, it's not going to do a huge amount. But if you go to the gym several times a week for a year, that's when the results are really going to start to show. And as you have very much proven, Mason, you know, the results are coming in. And I think it's kind of a humbling conversation to have, where we can see that actually this is a really relatively simple strategy. You know, you're targeting, you're commenting, you're building relationships. Nothing too crazy. This is accessible for everyone. You've just got to have the commitment, the patience, and the consistency.
Yes. The only thing that I'll add is, you know, the thing that I would have done differently when I got started is I probably wouldn't have hung my hat on this strategy as the exclusive way that I was going to generate revenue. Because as I mentioned, it took 6 to 9 months to start seeing pipeline come in for me personally. And I really, like when I was in this job, when I started this, this was like our go-to strategy. So it'd been 6 months and I was like, well, people are commenting back. Like, so I would do this, admittedly, and people don't like this answer, but it's the honest truth, is I'd probably do this as like a side hustle where you're committed to it, but you may not advertise it quite yet. Like you may just kind of do it in quiet and you're not reporting up to your executive teams or your sales leader. Yes, I'm no longer, especially if you're a salesperson right now, I'm no longer going to cold call or send outbound emails or outbound DMs. I'm only going to social sell because that is the fastest way, from my perspective, to immediately decimate your current pipeline, because it's just going to take time to build up if you're starting from zero. So hear me say that as somebody that like didn't do that well, and then got questioned a lot. And thank goodness, and I mean, thank goodness something started to show. And now it's again, the only way that I actually generate revenue for a business, because it just works so well.
I think there's a really important thing just to highlight, because you're spot on, Mason, but in fairness, your strategy is just a sort of single or a couple of pillars of social selling. And actually, yes, doing that is part of it. But if you are actually actively, proactively sending direct messages, starting conversations, there is a bigger picture to social selling where you can absolutely get results straight away whilst building a personal brand, whilst building a voice through the comments and building rapport and relationships. So which is why social selling is such a big thing. It's not just like picking up the phone and making a call. It is multiple strategies done in a strategic way like you're doing. And when you start to bring those all together, that's where results come to life. But I've just loved your insights today, because it's brought a real different angle to social selling, a real different part of it that a lot of people don't often realize. And actually, that strategy in itself could be massively impactful for a lot of people. So Mason, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some real social selling insights and strategies that are clearly working very successfully and that I know are going to help a lot of people everywhere. To everyone who's watched or listened to this episode, really hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure you go and check out Mason, follow him, and click that bell icon so you can see some of the amazing LinkedIn and social selling tips that he's sharing. Mason, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been definitely one of my favorites.
Absolutely. Daniel, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, we've got a ton of other episodes that dig into how you can build programs using your existing tech stack. Additionally, if you have specific questions that you'd like to ask, we host a weekly live stream on LinkedIn called the ABM AMA, where you can join and get your questions answered directly by experts. And lastly, if you're looking for practical templates, guides, frameworks, and playbooks, check out scrappyabm.com, where we're building a library of resources that help ABMers just like you get their programs off the ground. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.